Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 30, Part 3. Further features of ecstatic love for Krishna continued. Endurance. When a person is fully satisfied due to attaining knowledge, transcending all distress, or achieving one's desired goal of life in transcendental devotional service to God, his or her state of endurance or steadiness of mind is called dhriti. And at this stage, one is not perturbed by any amount of loss, nor does anything appear to be unachieved. According to the opinion of Bhartrihari, a learned scholar, when a person is elevated to this stage of endurance, he or she thinks as follows. I do not wish to be a highly posted government servant. I shall prefer to remain naked without proper garments. I shall prefer to lie down on the ground without any mattress. And despite all these disadvantages, I shall refuse to serve anyone, even the government. So in other words, when one is in ecstatic love with the personality of Godhead, he or she can endure any kind of disadvantage calculated under the material concept of life. Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, used to think, in my pasturing ground, the goddess of fortune is personally present, and I possess more than 10,000 cows which loiter here and there. And above all, I have a son like Krishna, who is such a powerful, wonderful worker. Therefore, even though I am a householder, I am feeling so satisfied. This is an instance of mental endurance resulting from the absence of all distress. In another instance, a devotee says, I am always swimming in the nectarian ocean of the pastimes of the personality of Godhead, and as such, I have no more attraction for religious rituals, economic development, sense gratification, or even the ultimate salvation of merging into the existence of Brahman. This is an instance of the mind's endurance due to achieving the best thing in the world. After all, the best thing in the world is absorption in Krishna consciousness. Happiness. It is described in the Vishnu Purana that when Akrura came to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, just by seeing their faces, Akrura became so cheerful that all over his body there were symptoms of ecstatic love. This state is called happiness. As it is stated in the 10th canto, 33rd chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tatraikangsa Gatang Bahum, Krishnas Yogpala Saurabham, Chandanaliptam Agraya, Hrishtaroma Chuchumbaha. And upon seeing that Krishna's arm was placed on her shoulder, one of the gopis who was engaged in the rasa dance became so ecstatically happy that she kissed Krishna on his cheek. This is an instance of feeling happiness because of achieving a desired goal. Eagerness. In the 10th canto, 71st chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, when Krishna first came from his kingdom Dwaraka to Indraprastha, the young females of the city became so eager to see Krishna that even at night when they were lying down with their husbands, they could not restrain their eagerness. Even though they were not properly dressed, and although their hair was loose and there were many household duties to perform, they still gave up everything and immediately went into the street to see Krishna. This is an instance of eagerness in ecstatic love. In his book Stavavali, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami has prayed for the mercy of Radharani, who was so captivated by the flute vibrations of Krishna that she immediately asked information of Krishna's whereabouts from residents in the Vrindavan forest. And upon first seeing Krishna, Radha was filled with such ecstatic love and pleasure that Radha began to scratch her ears. The damsels of Vraja and Radharani were very expert in talking cunningly. So as soon as they saw Krishna, they began their talkings, and Krishna, pretending to go for some flowers for them, immediately left that place and entered into a mountain cave. This is another instance of eager loving exchanges on the parts of both the gopis and Krishna. Violence. When Krishna was fighting with the Kaliya snake by dancing upon his heads, Kaliya bit Krishna on his leg. And at that time, Garuda became infuriated and began to murmur, "Krishna is so powerful that simply by his thundering voice, the wives of Kaliya have had miscarriages. And because my lord has been insulted by this snake, I wish to devour Kaliya immediately. But I cannot do so within the presence of my lord, because he may become angry with me." This is an instance of eagerness to act in ecstatic love as a result of dishonor to Krishna. When Shishupal objected to the worship of Krishna in the Rajasuya arena at the sacrifice organized by Maharaj Yudhisthira, Sahadev, the younger brother of Arjuna, spoke out, "Any person who cannot tolerate the worship of Krishna is my enemy, and such a person is possessed of a demoniac nature. I therefore wish to strike my left foot upon Shishupal's broad head, just to punish him more strongly than the wand of Yamaraj himself." Then Baladev began to lament like this, "Oh, all auspiciousness to Lord Krishna. Indeed, I am so surprised to see that all the condemned descendants of the Kuru dynasty, who so unlawfully occupied the throne of the Kuru kingdom, are now criticizing Krishna with such diplomatic devices. Oh, this is intolerable." And this is another instance of eagerness caused by dishonor to Krishna. Haughtiness resulting in dishonorable words. In the Vidagdha Madhava, Jatila, the mother-in-law of Radharani, began to criticize Krishna in this way, "Krishna, you are standing here, and Radharani, who has just been married to my son, is also standing here. Now I know both of you very well, so why should I not be very anxious to protect my daughter-in-law from your dancing eyes?" So this is an instance of dishonorable words used to indirectly criticize Krishna. And similarly, some of the gopis once began to address Krishna with these dishonorable words, "Oh, my dear Krishna, you are a first-class thief, so please leave this place immediately. We know you love Chandravali more than us, but there is no use in praising her in our presence. Kindly do not contaminate the name of Radharani in this place." This is another instance of dishonorable words cast upon Krishna in ecstatic love. There is another statement in the 10th canto, 31st chapter, verse 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam. When all the gopis came out of their homes to meet Krishna in the Vrindavana forest, Krishna refused to accept them and then asked them to go home and giving them some moral instruction. At that time, the gopis responded as follows, "Pati sutan vaya bhratri bandavan, Ativilangyate anti achutagataha gati vidastavo gita mohitaha kitava yoshita kas tiajain nishi. Dear Krishna, there is extreme distress in being out of your presence, and there is extreme happiness simply in seeing you. Therefore, we have all left our husbands, relatives, brothers, and friends simply to come to you, being captivated by the sound of your transcendental flute. O infallible one, you had better know the reason for our coming here. In plain words, we are here simply because we have become captivated by the sweet sound of your flute. We are all beautiful girls, and you are so foolish that you are rejecting our association. We do not know anyone other than yourself who would miss this opportunity to associate with young girls in the dead of night. So this is another instance of indirect insults used against Krishna in ecstatic love, envy. In the Padyavali, one of the friends of Radharani once addressed her, "O my dear friend, please do not be too puffed up because Krishna has decorated your forehead with his own hand. For it may be that Krishna is yet attracted by some other beautiful girl. And I see that the decoration on your forehead is very nicely made, and so it appears that Krishna was not too disturbed in painting it. Otherwise, Krishna could not have painted such exact lines." This is an instance of envy caused by Radha's good fortune. In the 10th canto, 30th chapter, verse 30 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the following statement: Tasya amuni na shobhang kurvanti uchchai padani yat yaika paritya gopi nam raho bhumte achutadaram na lakshyante padani atra tasya nunang trinankurai kidyat sujatang ritalam uninye prayasin priya. When the gopis were searching for Krishna and Radha after the rasa dance, they thus began to speak among themselves. "We have seen the footprints of Krishna and Radha upon the ground of Vrindavana, and they are giving us great pain, because although Krishna is everything to us, that girl is so cunning that she has taken Krishna away alone and is enjoying his kissing without sharing Krishna with us." This is another instance of envy of the good fortune of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes, when the cowherder boys used to play in the forests of Vrindavan, Krishna would play on one side and Balaram would play on another, and there would be competition and mock fighting between the two parties. And when Krishna's party was defeated by Balaram, the boys would then say, "If Balaram's party remains victorious, then who in the world can be weaker than ourselves?" This is another instance of envy in ecstatic love. Impudence, improperly forward or bold. In the 10th canto, 52nd chapter, verse 41 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Rukmini addresses a letter to Krishna as follows: Shvo bhavani tvam ajitod vahane vidarban gupta sametya pritana pativi parita nirmatya chaidya magadhendra balang prasakhya mang rakshasena vidhinodvaha virya shulkam. O my dear unconquerable Krishna, my marriage day is fixed for tomorrow, so I request that you come to the city of Vidarbha without advertising yourself. Then, Have your soldiers and commanders suddenly surround and defeat all the strength of the king of Magadha. And by thus adopting the methods of the demons, please kidnap and marry me. According to the Vedic system, there are 8 kinds of marriages, one of which is called Rakshasa Vivaha. Rakshasa Vivaha refers to kidnapping a girl and marrying her by force. This is considered to be a demoniac method. So when Rukmini was going to be married to Shishupal, by the choice of her elder brother Rukmi, Rukmini wrote the above letter to Krishna requesting him to kidnap her. So this is an instance of impudence in ecstatic love for Krishna. One of the gopis once said, "May Krishna's sweet flute be washed away by the waves of the Yamuna and let it fall into the ocean. For the sweet sound of that flute is so impudent that it makes us lose all composure before our superiors." Dizziness. Every evening at sunset, Krishna used to return from the pasturing ground where he herded cows. And sometimes, when Mother Yashoda could not hear the sweet vibration of Krishna's flute, Yashoda would become very anxious. And because of this, Yashoda would feel dizzy. Thus, dizziness caused by anxiety in ecstatic love for Krishna is also possible. When Yashoda had tied up Krishna one time, she began to think, "Oh, Krishna's body is so soft and delicate. How could I have tied him up with rope?" And thinking like this, Yashoda's brain became puzzled and she felt dizziness. The gopis were advised by their superiors to bolt the doors at night. But they were so carefree that they did not carry out this order very rigidly. And sometimes, by thinking of Krishna, the gopis became so confident of being out of all danger that the gopis would lie down at night in the courtyards of their houses. This is an instance of dizziness in ecstatic love due to natural affection for Krishna. It may be questioned why devotees of Krishna should be attacked by dizziness, which is usually considered a sign of the mode of ignorance. To answer this question, Sri Jiva Goswami has said that the devotees of Lord Krishna are always transcendental to all the 3 modes of material nature. So when they feel dizziness or when they go to sleep, they are not considered to be sleeping under the modes of nature, but the devotees are accepted as being in a trance of devotional service. There is an authoritative statement in the Garuda Purana about mystic yogis who are under the direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In all 3 stages of their consciousness, namely wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep, the devotees are absorbed in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in their complete absorption in thought of Krishna, the devotees do not sleep. Sleepiness. Once, Lord Baladev began to talk in his sleep as follows, "O lotus-eyed Krishna, your childhood adventures are manifest simply according to your own will. Therefore, please immediately dispose of the stubborn pride of this Kaliya serpent." By saying this, Lord Baladev astonished the assembly of the Yadus and made them laugh for some time. Then, yawning so hard as to make ripples on his abdomen, Lord Baladev, the bearer of the plow, returned to his deep sleep. This is an instance of sleepiness in ecstatic love. Alertness. A devotee once stated, "I have already conquered the mode of ignorance. and I am now on the platform of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I shall be engaged only in searching after the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is an instance of alertness in ecstatic love. Such transcendental alertness is possible when the illusory condition is completely overcome. And at that stage, when in contact with any reaction of material elements, such as sound, smell, touch, or taste, the devotee realizes the transcendental presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this condition, the ecstatic symptoms, such as standing of the hair on the body, rolling of the eyeballs, and getting up from sleep, are persistently visible. When Srimati Radharani first saw Krishna, she suddenly became conscious of all transcendental happiness, and the functions of her different limbs were stunned. And when Lalita, Radha's constant companion, whispered into her ear the holy name of Krishna, Radharani immediately opened her eyes wide. This is an instance of alertness caused by hearing the sound of the name of Krishna. One day, in a joking mood, Krishna informed Radharani, "My dear Radharani, I am now going to give up your company." And upon saying this, Krishna immediately disappeared. And because of this, Radharani became so afflicted that the hue of her body changed. Radha immediately fell down upon the ground of Vrindavan. Radha had practically stopped breathing, but when Radha smelled the flavor of the flowers on the ground, Radha awoke in ecstasy and got up. This is an instance of transcendental alertness caused by smelling. When Krishna was touching the body of one gopi, the gopi addressed her companion, "Oh, my dear friend, whose hand is this touching my body?" I had become very afraid after seeing the dark forest on the bank of the Yamuna, but suddenly the touch of this hand has saved me from hysterical fits. This is an instance of alertness caused by touching. Once, one of the gopis informed Krishna, "My dear Krishna, when you disappeared from the arena of the Rasa dance, our most dear friend Radharani immediately fell on the ground and lost consciousness. But after this, when I offered her some of your chewed betel nut remnants, Radha immediately returned to consciousness with jubilant symptoms in her body." This is an instance of alertness caused by tasting. One night, Srimati Radharani was talking in her dream, "Oh, my dear Krishna, please do not play any more jokes on me. Please stop. And please don't touch my garments either. Otherwise, I shall inform the elderly persons and I shall have to disclose all of your naughty behavior." While Radha was talking like this in her dream, suddenly she awoke and saw some of her superiors standing before her. Thus, Radharani became ashamed and bowed her head. This is an instance of alertness after awakening from sleep. Here is another instance of this. Once, a messenger from Krishna came to Srimati Radharani while she was sleeping, and Radharani immediately awakened. Similarly, when Krishna began to blow on his flute in the night, all of the gopis, the beautiful daughters of the cowherder men, immediately got up from their sleep. And there is a very beautiful comparison made in this connection. The lotus flower is sometimes surrounded by white swans, and sometimes it is surrounded by black wasps who are collecting its honey. And when there is a thundering in the sky, the swans go away, but the black wasps stay to enjoy the lotus flowers. So, the gopi's sleeping condition is compared to the white swan's, and the sound of Krishna's flute is compared to the black wasp. When Krishna's flute sounded, the white swans, which represent the sleeping condition of the gopis, were immediately vanquished, and the black wasp sound of the flute of Krishna began to enjoy the lotus flower of the gopis' beauty. Thus ends chapter 30, part 3 of Nectar of Devotion, entitled Further Features of Ecstatic Love for Krishna Continued. Recorded March 26, 2021 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the author, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Om Tat Sat.